You pressed play on this podcast with the click of curiosity. It is another dimension, a dimension of mind, a dimension where nothing is sacred and everything is explainable. You're streaming into a land of both inside and outside, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the midside.
Welcome to the midside. I'm Justin M. Wisniewski. In fact, this is a welcome back to the midside. Some of you may know that we recorded about 10 episodes last summer / fall, but then we were abruptly canceled by Fox. Fortunately, we were picked up by Netflix, like is the trend nowadays. In between the time, Dan Harmon was re-signed, so just like Community, we are now repiloting. And as part of the repiloting, let me introduce the other characters we have with me. We have my co-host, you may remember him, Daniel T. Richards.
Yo, yo, I hope I'm not Abed.
Why wouldn't you want to be Abed? He's the best character.
Yeah, but he's so tall.
Don't worry about it. I think in this situation, I'm probably Abed. So
yeah, I'll be Pierce. Oh, wait.
Spoiler alert.
There's walkers in the barn and Lori's pregnant.
Pierce is dead. Also joining us again is the Doctor.
Hey, it's good to be here in the only non-frigidly cold place in America right now.
That's true. I think we actually talk about that later in the podcast, so hold on to that thought. But for now, thank you for providing me with an excellent transition. It's the news with Daniel T. Richards.
So I don't think a news segment, especially on a show as prescient as ours, would be complete without discussing Mr. Michael Sam. For anyone unaware, Michael Sam is an All-American defense lineman from Missouri, and last year he was Associated Press's SEC Defensive Player of the Year. And he's in the news lately because he has come out as a conservative. Just kidding, he's gay. So the reason it's been in the news, the reason it's controversial is that Sam is eligible for the NFL draft in May, and assuming he does get drafted, which is very likely, he will become the first openly gay player in the history of football.
The interesting thing is, they're just defining openly gay as the entire country knows, right?
Yes.
Because I find it hard to believe there was never a gay player that their teammates didn't know they were gay.
Right. I suspect there have been many, at least six gay players or so since, Vince Lombardi even.
Wait, were you saying Vince Lombardi was gay?
No, I'm not implying that Vince Lombardi, but look at that trophy.
So okay. I actually accidentally read a story on this.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. You can be even sorry for me because it was on, even more sorry because it was on ESPN. Oh. And what I mean by that is, after the Pats lost to the Broncos, I swore off ESPN because I'm done with they don't report anything in reality based. It's just, they always have an agenda. And certainly this Michael Sam story is part of their agenda.
Right.
And I got to the story because I was trying to go to the Patriots blog on their site, which is like the one good content, because the guy who does it has been covering the Patriots since before he worked for ESPN. But when I typed in the URL, I accidentally just went to the homepage. Mm-hmm. And when I did, there was a story about his father. Have you read this story?
This is probably my most favorite story about Michael Sam, so yes.
Yeah, so basically the story says that he told his dad via text message that he was gay. Which, I mean, that's going to be the weirdest way to get a text message. Like,
right.
BT dub dad, I'm gay, LOL.
So, actually, I have a text message right here in front of us.
Do you?
It's very eloquent. It's, dad, comma, I'm gay.
Do you want to do a brief rhetorical analysis of this for us, Dan?
Well, he starts with the personalization of the dad, dad sort of going back to his childhood. And then, interesting choice about the comma. So it's not a full stop, like, dad. Like, yo, listen. It's just like, dear dad, I'm gay. Not I am gay. I'm gay. So it's very casual. It's yeah. Well, I think it's probably appropriate for where he was, where his Michael Sam's father was at the time.
Right, and this is the ridiculous part of the story for me. He got the text when he was at Denny's, so I imagine he was eating his Grand Slam on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And then he got knocked out of the park.
Yeah, and he immediately moved the sausage to the other side of the plate. He didn't want to.
There were two sausages touching each other, and he just moved them away from each other.
Right, he just, yeah.
Yeah, the best part for me was what he then immediately did.
Yeah.
So in the article he says, I just couldn't take it. I had to leave Denny's. Which, you know, when I find out people are gay, I'm just like, I can't go to Denny's right now. You're gay.
Yeah.
But then he leaves Denny's and he goes to Applebee's.
Right. That is not a more heterosexual choice. I'm just saying. Eating good in the neighborhood? I don't think so.
It's not more heterosexual when he orders their ultimate margarita.
Right. Exactly.
And granted, Applebee's does have a bar, but you would think if you were going to a bar to drink your troubles away, it would be like, maybe a dive bar because you feel bad for yourself, sort of like when Sawyer ran into Jack's dad on Lost, you know, that bar he was in. Or, you know, it would be just a bar you frequent. I just imagine this guy is frequenting Denny's and Applebee's, and then sometimes he bowls in his league.
Yes, exactly. Applebee's is a little bit of a bizarre choice to me. I don't know what the doctor thinks here, but this demonstrates something about Michael Sam's father. By the way, do we have Michael Sam's father's name? All I see is Michael Sam's father in all these stories. Does he have a name?
No, he doesn't, because he doesn't need to have a name, because he's not a human being. Only gay people are human beings in the media these days.
All right, well, yeah. I don't know what the doctor thinks about the psychology of this guy moving from Denny's to Applebee's, but I think there's something interesting to be said there.
Have we heard anything from the dad so far? Like, did he go to Applebee's because he was ashamed of his son being gay? Or, like, what was the deal with that? Do we really know his opinion on it? Is he, like, shamed?
Oh, yeah.
That his son's gay?
Oh, we've got it. We've got it. Quoting from the ESPN article, I couldn't eat no more, so I went to Applebee's to have drinks.
He couldn't eat no more?
Correct. I don't want my grandkids raised in that kind of environment. So
he can feel good because none of us can eat no more.
Yes.
So no one is capable of that.
But to Michael Sam's mystery father's defense, and he might not even be real. We might be being catfished right now. But he says he was terribly, terribly, terribly misquoted by the New York Times. So,
really? The media misquoted someone to make him seem like a bigot against gays?
No. Yeah. Right, because he was actually heading down to Pinky's Topless Bar for a drink, and they misquoted him as saying Applebee's. So,
if only that. Actually, that would have been less funny to me. Is the thing about it?
Yeah.
But I do think, you know, all jokes aside, you know, that's very funny, but I do think there are serious concerns here that are just kind of being glazed over by the media, right? Now, one of the things we always touch on in the Midside is freedom, right? And I think any team should have a right to sign him and create whatever policies they want for dealing with him.
Yeah.
But there are legitimate policy concerns here for teams that sign him. And what I mean is this. I was talking to my dad about this issue, and he said, you know, not everyone is smart and educated and cultured, especially these people who, you know, they go to college just to be football players, and then they're drafted in the NFL. These guys aren't always the brightest guys. So there could legitimately be danger in this situation. What if he's in the group shower with people, and he's doing nothing wrong, but somebody, because you know how irrational people can be, just look at him and say, why are you looking at me like that?
Mm-hmm.
When he's not at all. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the media isn't addressing this at all. They're just saying, well, of course everyone should just be accepting of it. It's not being accepting of the fact if he's gay or not. I mean, rationally, I don't think anyone if he's a good player is going to say, we don't want you because you're gay. But there's a difference between that and saying, what are the ramifications in the social structure of our organization?
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Can we even say tight end anymore, or is that offensive now?
I think that's just offensive because it makes people think of Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, it's true. Murderer! that's not funny. If he was gay, it'd be funny. But so yeah, no, I agree with you, and the media, right. They don't want to address any of the real concerns anyway, and I don't think the NFL particularly does either, because they're hard. And they would be, hey now. But I can see the media being overly sensitive about this issue throughout at least the first couple of years of his career, because it's going to take some time. I mean, I can hear the announcers right now saying, you know, oh, the ref just threw a flag on Michael Sam, and the other guy, what did you call him? Yeah, that's racist.
This is just, to me, it's another example of just the way the media has marketed the, and I'm going to say something quasi-offensive here, the homosexual agenda over the last year or so. You know, I'm all for freedom and everything, but, like, I still remember when, what was, like, the vote on gay marriage this past summer?
Mm-hmm.
And when whatever that was that went through, everyone was celebrating on Twitter and everywhere and in the news as if, like, that was the greatest blow for freedom in this country, when in this past year, national health care has been passed. Like,
yeah.
And there are issues with taxes and the economy. Yeah. And it's just the way the media puts forward these social issues as if that defines the country, not all these other, you know,
right.
things.
Yeah, it's hysterical to me that, you know, I think it's funny because I don't think homosexuals have an agenda other than they're going to, you know, make place wherever they live, increase in property value and clean, and then have a lot of disposable income. That's sort
and
of their
entertaining movies starring Michael Urie and Randy Harrison.
I think that's sort of their agenda, but the media has created an agenda for them. And in many cases, I think they just go, okay. Because, I mean, one of my best friends in the world is gay, and he always said, my agenda is to stop paying so much in taxes.
Right.
That's what he said.
His agenda is, like everyone else's, it's to be happy. I'm sure that's what they would say.
Yeah. So, anyway, good for Michael Sam. Good for the NFL, I guess.
Good for the Patriots, because he's going to drop to, like, the fifth round, and Belichick's going to take him. You know
it. I actually had a question about that. Do you think that any teams are gonna, like, fall over themselves to pick him up to sort of get that nod as being the first team to accept a gay player?
Yeah, the Vikings.
I actually think it'll be the opposite because of these real concerns that, like, my dad brought up mm-hmm. and that I talked about earlier. I think people will pass on him because of that. Because, I mean, the Vikings thing that Dan was just talking about was a player, a punter for the Vikings, was basically cut because he came out in support of gay marriage, and, like, his coach, the special teams coach, was anti-gay marriage. So I think there are still these people with low IQs who are stupid and who are intolerant and who may just not be able to handle it. They may be children as well. I mean, you get in the league when you're 21. I mean, Aaron mm-hmm. Hernandez is clearly a kid, right?
Right.
They're just, and so I think a lot of people will pass on him for that reason. I think you have to have very strong leadership and a very strong organization in order to handle something like this in this day and age.
Yeah.
And I do, you know, even I'm 31 years old, I'm educated, I'm pretty well adjusted, and there is something to be said that there are concerns about showering with a bunch of guys and there's a gay guy in there. I mean, would you let a guy shower with a bunch of women, or a woman shower with a bunch of guys? Or a woman shower with a bunch of guys?
Yeah, what is this, Starship Troopers?
I'm so glad you said that, because the best part about this story is it got my dad to drop that reference to me in a conversation.
Your dad dropped a reference. That's hysterical.
He goes, I know the media is trying to make it like, you know, that movie with the bugs where all the men and women are showering together, but
Star Wars fighters? What is it? Yeah.
Anyway, what else do you have for us, Dad?
All right, so what else has been in the news is, of course, the Olympics, specifically the Winter Olympics in Sochi, which is not in Japan. People can stop tweeting that. It's in Russia.
Wait, are people tweeting making fun of it, or are they saying it is in Japan?
They think it's in Japan because it's named Sochi, which is racist.
Or linguist.
Anyway, but, you know, one interesting thing is that since the journalists started arriving in Sochi, they've, of course, been talking about how basically horrible the conditions are in the hotel rooms, you know, without doorknobs, and the water being completely brown all the time, and now the notorious photo of the two toilets in one single stall, like right next to each other. But I think the height of this
is... Well, those are the Michael Sam toilets.
God. And so I think the height of this is that people have started calling this socialism, which is what a country brings upon itself when they spend the most on an Olympics ever, and it's the Winter Olympics, but they're an incredibly corrupt quasi-socialist country. But the best, the absolute best, and the new story that I want to spend a little bit of time talking about is Dmitry Kozak, the deputy prime minister responsible for the Olympic preparations, has accused the Western media of bias against Russia. And his proof is, he said, we have surveillance video from the hotels that shows people turn on their shower, direct the nozzle at the wall, and then leave the room for the whole day. Think about that for a second. Think about it for a second. They have cameras.
Right.
In the showers where people are naked.
Well, aren't all the webcam girls on the internet Russian?
Could be. Maybe they've just converted all of these porn hotels into regular hotels.
Right, that's how they have so many webcam girls from Russia, now we know.
Yes, exactly. Kozak later told journalists that he had misspoke. And the cameras were in the bedrooms, not in the showers.
Oh, so he could hear the showers being on.
Right, so, yeah.
But anyway,
they're still in the bedrooms.
Still
in the bedrooms.
So
Michael Sam isn't doing anything improper in Russia.
Yes, I also heard a story from someone who's there, one of the gay athletes who is using Grindr in that country. Anyone unfamiliar, Grindr is an app that allows men to connect for nights of Michael Samming.
And, well, it's like Tinder except for gay people.
Yeah, exactly. And they actually got pop-ups on their phone that say, you are in violation of Russian anti-homosexuality laws. Cease immediately. So they're like the NSA, but Russian.
Part of me is like horrified because that's so anti-freedom, but then part of me is like, it's really cool that an organization can like hack into an app, and like when you do something, it like pops up and is like, haha, you're doing weird stuff. And I'm not saying like gay stuff is necessarily weird stuff, but it's just like, imagine if like you're in Russia and you're like trying to watch the latest Doctor Who, and they're like, why are you watching British television? Watch
yes.
Who Doctor?
In Russia, Olympics watches you.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that's really the non-story here. The real story is that America is sucking at the Winter Olympics.
I mean, honestly, you're going to have to spell that out for me because I haven't, like, when I found out the Winter Olympics were happening, I was like, oh, already? That's sudden.
The Winter Olympics can basically be summed up in a series of sports where people slide on things, and we are terrible at sliding this year. We are in sixth place in gold medal counts right now. In fact, we're tied with Poland.
Hey,
I knew that's what I'm trying to do. Germany is winning with 7 gold medals. Switzerland in second with 5, and then a bunch of us tied for 4th.
So wait, you're saying the country that is currently led by a president who wants us to bring the third world up is in 6th place, you know, sharing the gold medals with other people, and the country that once tried to build a master race is in 1st place?
Yes.
Shocking.
They are master sliders. So, but I think this goes to the greater question of who cares?
Yeah, the Olympics happen far too often. I mean, and like you said, who cares? Like, what are the sports that are interesting in this? I mean, has anyone cared about a winter sports athlete, you know, besides like the NHL, since Nancy Kerrigan or Apollo Ono?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I appreciate the fact that these people are incredibly athletic, but I honestly just have no appreciation for the sport that they choose to show it in. Additionally, things like lugeing. Do people luge outside of the Olympics? Are there luge clubs where people just go on top of a hill and throw themselves down it?
Well, yeah, like in the X Games, they have street luge.
Yeah, but again, is this something like kids do in their spare time?
Well, yeah, that's how the X Games started.
Are there
kids doing random shit, and they were like, oh wait, let's make it a official.
Are there high school and college luge teams? Does the Lugers have a mascot?
I think, like, lugering might be illegal in the U.S. because it causes concussions.
Yes. I think if you get interested in luge, then you'll probably at least get a bronze medal. Because there's no one else interested in luge.
Isn't it the same thing with curling?
Well, right. Curling is just master sweeping.
Isn't curling just the guy who works for the ice rink where the Zamboni's broken?
Yes, curling is just the sport of janitors.
Right, exactly. Really.
But, yeah, I mean, ice skating, okay, I get that. Can't we just put that in, like, the Summer Olympics and just call it, like, this is the last event, like, before winter? I don't... Whatever.
And just have one Olympics every 8 years or something?
Yeah, exactly. It's too much, and, yeah, whatever.
So how many medals does the U.S. have so far?
I believe
Not enough.
So we have only 4 gold medals, and that's really how they count who's winning. We have 15 medals total, which I think is second only to Germany.
And Sean White didn't even get a gold, right?
Correct. Sean White went home to go smoke some more pot without any medals. Yes.
You think with, like, all the snowstorms we're having, we'd be better at the Winter Olympics this time around, but...
Exactly.
Well, that's because all our athletes come from California for some reason.
Right. What? Yeah. So anyway, in a new book that came out called HRC, I'll let people give them, like, 1 second to see if they can figure out what those letters stand for. It stands for Hillary Rodham Clinton. It's been revealed...
Oh, I thought it was hot rabbit coitus.
Yeah. Well... Not that far off. Members of the Clinton team started talking about a 2016 presidential bid the night that Barack Obama won his second term. So, I mean, Hillary Clinton has been effectively running for president for at least 2 years now, and the presidential elections are still more than 2 years away.
I mean, there's a couple things here. One... Isn't that the way these people run their campaigns all the time? I mean, when someone has a career goal, aren't they always building towards that career goal?
I think yes. I think there is a differentiation between having a long-term goal to run for president versus, like, that night talking about the super PAC to fund Hillary, called Ready for Hillary.
Is that why I saw that bumper sticker?
Yes. readyforhillary.com. Don't go there, please, God.
But, I mean, in a more specific thing, besides the general thing I just said, I mean, hasn't Hillary Clinton been running for president since she married Bill Clinton?
Basically. If you remember, she did do fairly well, but did not get the nomination because of Barack Hussein Obama. But she's old now. I think she's older than McCain was when he ran for president.
She actually looks better now than she did before, though.
Yeah, she's had a lot of, you know, time away from Bill.
Well, I thought you were going to say plastic surgery.
Yeah, you see what I did there?
Yeah.
But, yeah, she's still married to Bill, by the way. I didn't realize that until the other day when someone said her husband, Bill Clinton, and I thought, that's not true.
It's never been true.
Right.
Like, it's always been political.
They are legally bound by a piece of paper, but do you think they sleep in the same bed? I don't think so.
This is the scariest thing about it. In like 3 years, Bill Clinton's gonna be back in the White House.
Oh my God. Back in the Lincoln bedroom. Woo!
I mean, the Republicans aren't gonna be able to put anyone up opposed to him, opposed to her, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? Romney's the standout favorite right now.
Really? Because, you know, we didn't see how that went last time.
Or the time before. Oh, my God. So, I think there's a reason we keep bringing up people like Hillary Clinton and Romney to rule us. And that is...
Oh, it's not because of what the guy on Hollywood Boulevard told me after I got out of Book of Mormon, holding his sign saying that the New World Order is controlling... the elections, and he said Hillary's the next president.
I
thought he just knew what was going on.
That's probably the second most likely explanation, but the most likely explanation comes from our next story, which is that people are dumb. And
why are people dumb? What's your evidence besides the world?
So according to a survey by the National Science Foundation, when people were asked the question, does the Earth go around the Sun or does the Sun go around the Earth? 74% of people knew that the Earth goes around the Sun. That means that 1 in 4 people did not know that the Earth goes around the Sun.
Wait. The Sun doesn't go around the Earth. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
That's...
I thought we were the center of the universe. And I thought that whatever we wanted happened, we were the most important thing. And that there's like a being out there who's making sure everything that we want to happen happens.
Yeah. No. No. In fact, these 26 people, I think, answered that the Earth revolves around them. So...
That's probably it. Yeah, the Sun revolves around the Earth. The Earth revolves around them.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and this is why they're voting for Hillary Clinton, so she'll give them what they deserve.
Exactly. More money. In the same survey, only 48% of people knew that human beings, as we know them today, developed from earlier species of animals. 48%.
Well, that's because, like, 52% of them are creationists, right?
Yes. Yes, indeed. Now, you might say, wow, look at those stupid Americans who don't know their science. But, in fact, the same poll was given in the European Union, and only 66% of people in the European Union knew that the Earth revolved around the Sun. So,
what, everyone... So people?
Yes, 66%. So, 1 in 3 didn't know. So I think we can just say that all people are stupid.
I mean, it's just a failure of the education system of massive proportions everywhere. I mean, there are basic facts you should teach people.
There are basic facts you should learn no matter where you are. That is true.
I can't even. I mean, of course, you know, I say this, but, you know... Like we're surprised. More evidence that people are dumb. For this week's weekly disjustion, that's a mouthful, the weekly disjustion, we're going to be talking about further proof, further evidence of the decline of humanity. Flappy birds. Can anybody hear me? I guess I keep talking to myself. It feels like I'm going insane. Am I the one who's crazy? Once again, my mind has been blown by the latest app craze. I don't know why it's been blown, but it has. And that's this thing called Flappy Birds. Now, the first time I heard about this was through Twitter, which probably is how most people heard about it. But every once in a while, like one of the bands I follow on Twitter, because they're like younger people. I sound so old, they're like younger people. But yeah, they're like, you know, 18, 19, early 20s. They tweet about whatever's going on with them, you know, to start a discussion with their followers. I'm assuming it's a marketing thing to seem like, oh, you know, we're like you. Or they could just be like them. But yeah, so they were tweeting about it. I was like, okay, whatever, this Flappy Birds thing, because I didn't have time to like download a random app and play it. And then the next thing I knew, it was like the hottest news story. And I finally read an article on BuzzFeed about it, which gave me a little bit of an understanding of it. But it's still, I'm just like, why is this what it is? Why is it even a news story? Like, there are lots of things that sell that aren't news stories.
Yeah, have you actually played it?
No.
Like
I said, I don't have time to download that. The games I play are mind-numbing enough.
It is the worst thing you will ever play. I don't know if you ever played that old, like, helicopter game where it's essentially the same thing where you just try and go weave in and out of these little columns. But you have to just, like, tap because it's on your iPod and stuff. But I played that thing for like 2 seconds the other day. I got like 4. People are getting like 150. They sit there all day. And I guess it's supposed to be really addicting, but I don't really get it at all.
I don't get it either. I downloaded it after I heard the sort of shenanigans about the developer. And I played for, I honestly played for about 40 seconds. And I was so bored that I deleted it from my phone. which makes me sad now. But I don't understand. Oh, also, by the way, Justin, as a part of an ombudsman thing here, it's Flappy Bird, singular.
Oh, not plural?
One bird.
Oh. See, yeah. I'm already trying to make the game more interesting than it sounds like it was.
Yeah, plural, too interesting for this game. Birds.
Well, no, I'm calling it that because of, I must have been mixing it up with Angry Birds, right?
Yes.
Which even that, right? Like, there's a history of apps on the phone that are addicting that you play for a while and then you get bored with, right? Like, I played Angry Birds and for a while I was like, I'm gonna get 3 stars or however many on all these levels. And then they used to introduce like the grand or giant eagle where you had to like destroy everything 100%. And I'm like, I'm gonna get 100% on all these levels.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got bored because they just kept doing this, introducing new levels and it was the same thing. And I had other things to do with my life. Likewise, I was introduced to this QuizUp app recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I know more about Lost than anyone in the world besides Damon Lindelof, even perhaps Damon Lindelof. So I was like, I'm going to become the number one person in Lost in the world. It literally, it becomes a certain point where the questions are all the same. So it just becomes you've memorized it and you're just answering quickly because you have it memorized. And then I do that for like half an hour and I'm like, oh, wow, I must have so many more points than people. And there are people there who have like 10 to 20 times my points. That means people have memorized the answers and they're just sitting there playing it and clicking the answers they already know all day. There's no challenge to it.
Right. They're just looking for social credibility and, you know, doing that basically fills a self-esteem hole that they don't have. And it seems like they're accomplishing something. So it's like pseudo self-esteem.
No, with that quiz up, you can achieve a name on there, you can become the U.S. Postmaster General on there.
Well, so, yeah, that's what I thought was cool. I became the smoke monster.
The smoke monster.
So I was like trying to go home and offering people deals. And then now I'm a Dharma worker. So I was like, oh wow, I wonder what happens. Like eventually I become Jack and I sacrifice myself and I make everyone hate me. But no, like I thought that was cool. Like there are things about it that I really like. But the fact that there's a limit on it, where the questions are just repeated, you would think that they would want to have as many questions on there as possible.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. You know, you could submit your own content, not to go off on this quiz up tangent, but you can submit your own questions and make them ridiculously hard.
That would be way too hard.
Well, but that's the point, isn't it? I mean, we have this dichotomy right now where games either have to be really easy or really hard. There's nothing like in between anymore. You know, that's the problem I have with video games in general is, I mean, we're gonna sit here talking crap about Flappy Bird, but I only really play side-scrollers anymore because other games they're too involved for me. You gotta use 2 joysticks and know all the different inputs to go through your inventory, equip a weapon, use it real quick, then switch to another weapon, change your camera view. It's way too involved for
me. I know, you gotta brush all the kids off your lawn, you know, go to bed at 6 o'clock. It's so hard. Yeah, we can shit talk the game all day. It's not difficult to do, even though it's way fun. But
well, hold on a second. Do we really have a right to shit talk the game if we're gonna use instead of playing the game, we're gonna use our time to shit talk the game? It's just as redundant.
There is a deep, deep irony there that I love. But my point is that so this guy who created the app, he said he created it in like 2 or 3 days. It was sort of like a joke that he put there just for fun. And then it became an insane sensation. And he has some amount of integrity about him. I mean, after he made $2 or $3 million, he took the game down.
After he made $2 or $3 million. No, I mean, I didn't get the impression though, maybe this is just the media coverage of it, because I read that BuzzFeed article, and I got the impression that he took it down because he was just getting like so much hate for it.
So initially he said, he couldn't stand all the negative attention and he took it down. But then later he said he saw the back end statistics and he said, if you were to basically see the back end statistics about the amount of time people are spending on this game, you would be horrified for our culture. And so he took the game down because it was too addictive.
There's something here with the fact that he's from Vietnam. Cause this guy's name is Dong Nguyen. I think, I don't know how to say his first name, but it's D-O-N-G. And the fact that a Vietnamese guy is, he made an app and then he said, this is horrific for our culture. There's got to be something there about that.
Yeah. But that's racist.
It's not, I don't refer to the Vietnam War. It's got nothing to do with race. I'm talking about the fact that we couldn't beat them, and now he could have taken over our culture, but he didn't. Like, it's like the power has shifted in the world. Like, I feel like this demonstrates that we are no longer the world power.
Yeah.
Because think about it. If they had invaded, we all would have been playing Flappy Bird. That would have been the end of it.
Getting really deep on Flappy Bird discussion.
This is here. The time to strike. It is interesting because he did say that in the article, I think, that he was like, it wasn't meant to be done like this.
Right. You were supposed to spend a few minutes on it, sort of be like, that's hard, ha ha ha, and then go on with your life. But at the height of the popularity of the game, he was raking in $50,000 a day in advertising.
Well, and he has other games still, right, that are really popular now because of that.
Yeah, indeed.
So that guy has a lot of money.
He's going to do fine for himself.
The interesting comment I saw about it was, did you see that Fall Out Boy released a version of this game?
No.
It's called, like, Fall Out Bird or something. And it has their single playing underneath of it, so it's a way it's, like, cross-promotional. And people got, like, super pissed about it. And Pete Wentz, you know, the guy who doesn't have his head on straight, the lyricist, and who married Ashley Simpson, if that doesn't tell you about him, he actually made an interesting point where he said, I don't know why the guy deleted the game and was having so much of a hard time with the hate. Like, on the internet, if they hate you, that means that you're loved.
It's true.
So this is my thing, and this is my ultimate question, which I want to know. Did people actually hate this game, or did they love it, and it's just that we pretend to hate the things we love? And if they loved it, why did they love it?
Well, I think there's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B. I think the vast majority is exactly what you're talking about. People who are playing all the time and then would go on Twitter and, for, again, the social credibility, be like, oh, this game is so dumb. You're an idiot. You should die in Vietnam hell.
Look out for Charlie. He's up in the trees.
Exactly. But, you know, at the same time, they would switch from Twitter back to Flappy Bird and get up to level 75. By the way, I got to level, like, 4 in that 40 seconds, and I thought this was the worst thing I had ever done with my life.
I don't know. Playing all these games makes me feel stupid, right? Because, like, I'll play them for a little bit, and then I'll get to a level, and I'll think, oh, wow, you know, I'm doing pretty well. I figured out how this game works. And then I'll be at, like, level 10 and be like, oh, yeah, I'm doing well. And somebody will be at, like, level 1,000. And I'm just like, how are you even capable of that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the other amount of hatred he got was sort of the, I'm too good for this people. Like the, look at all of you peasants wasting your life with Flappy Bird. Now, I might have that view of people, but I don't share it on Twitter with them. I don't tell them. I just, you know, live, move on, etc.
Wait. Twitter is not for expressing your elitism.
Only on days ending in Y.
Oh, okay. Just making sure. But so, no, I mean, the thing is, right, doesn't this demonstrate something? And, you know, I hate to, like, bring out Karl Marx, but I'm going to do it.
Already?
The opiate of the masses.
Opiates.
Do you understand what I'm saying, though? Like, it doesn't seem like we're engaging with anything as a culture anymore. It's all just whatever the next thing to distract ourselves is.
It's all just flappy, angry, and Twitter. What is it with birds? I thought the internet loved cats.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I didn't want to seem like I was reaching, though.
Thanks. Thanks, Justin. Anyway.
I think we're always constantly looking for something to fill our time, whether we need it really to be filled or not. Like, I was at my friend's house the other day. They were just sitting there. We're supposed to be hanging out and doing stuff, but they were sitting playing Flappy Bird. So, I don't really know why, but everyone feels the need to fill the time with stuff they don't need to.
So you're sitting around with your friends playing this stupid app?
Yeah, well, I was watching them play this stupid app because I don't have it on my phone.
Didn't you leave?
What?
Weren't you like, I'm going to go watch, like, grass grow?
Watch grass grow.
Like, this is what I don't understand. Like, I look at, like, the list of things I want to do and, like, the list of shows and movies I want to watch.
Yeah.
if I was playing Flappy Bird, I would be like, well, okay, instead of this, I can go watch...
I wanted to binge watch House of Cards instead of...
Yeah.
Play Flappy Bird.
Well, you could choose a better show, but yeah, I mean, point taken. I mean, watching House of Cards is definitely better than playing Flappy Bird.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I mean, this is why I stopped watching House of Cards, though. Isn't House of Cards like Flappy Bird? Oh, wow, Kevin Spacey's character mm-hmm. does something unseemly in every episode. Oh, no, next episode, Kevin Spacey's character does something unseemly. Oh, no.
At first when I saw all these kids talking about Flappy Bird on Twitter, I thought it was a bad euphemism for masturbating.
Wouldn't masturbating be more productive?
I think so. Yeah, definitely. So I don't know what to do with these people.
The long and short of it is, next time there's a stupid app that comes up, ask yourself, could I be watching House of Cards or masturbating? And the answer is yes, both at the same time.
Sounds like what politicians would do.
Onwards to more people wasting time on the internet with our most popular segment because Drew loves it, Yahoo Answers Answers.
Then it's just another question. Just another answer, I won't be getting. Just another question. Just another answer, I won't be getting.
First question. I am not good at anything. Why? I tried stocks, but I get bored. I'm 16, period, question mark. So either definitively they're 16 or they're not sure anymore. Also, what 16-year-old tries stocks?
Yeah, a bored one. Who has a lot of money, now that I think about it.
Maybe. Anyway, so there's more to this question. Are we ready for it?
Yeah.
I am trying to find something that I am good at. I am not attractive, muscular, rich, but I am not a loser either. Well, I don't know. If you're not attractive, muscular, or rich, how are you not a loser? I like sports, but I am not talented. I tried reading books on stocks to educate myself, but the read was so boring. I am honestly not good at anything. Why do some people have so much and others so little?
Oh.
Well, it's a very simple answer to your question, random internet 16-year-old. Question mark. All of the things you mentioned, even the attractive one, could arguably be changed by practice.
Mm.
So you can get muscular by going to the gym every day. You can get rich by making money and having a little bit of luck. You can be good at sports by practicing them. You can read books that you don't find boring.
Yeah, I think this is an unfortunate manifestation of the message that we keep telling everyone nowadays, which is basically, someone is keeping you down, man. And he's 16, and he's already come up with this idea that I'm not born with it, and it's not Maybelline.
Oh.
Thank you. Therefore, I'm not good at anything. You're 16. You're not a prodigy, likely.
This looks exactly like every 16-year-old's Facebook statuses look like all the time. It's all a bunch of depressing shit talking about what they suck at or what they don't have or what others have and what they want.
Right.
Right, but that's where Dan is right. I mean, I can attest to this having grown up in, you know, liberal Massachusetts where it was always about, like, you know, the man... is keeping you down. They're in control of what's going on. The corporations control our lives. You know, not noticing that we decide what we want to buy. You know, I go into Target. Oh, but they're limiting your choices. Mm-hmm. Are they? If they didn't make it, I wouldn't be able to go into the store and buy a Pop-Tart.
Yeah, so, it's unfortunate that this is the attitude that this 16-year-old has. Instead of, these are the things I really like. I want to get better at them.
Or not even get better at them, right? I mean, who cares if you're doing it wrong, like Tribe One, the nerdcore rapper, says. Just do it, like Nike says. I'm just going to quote other people for the rest of the podcast. Like that character in A Wrinkle in Time.
Right.
And is whatever.
And I'm just counting our copyright infringement lawsuits, so.
That's, I mean, the whole thing's a ripoff of things that have been done before. Originality is dead. But no. What was I saying?
Pop-Tarts.
Oh, yeah. No. The who cares if you're doing it wrong thing. Like, it shouldn't be about, like, oh, I want to be good at this necessarily. I mean, yeah, the more you care about something, the more you're going to improve at it. But it should just be that it's what you like, so you want to continue to do it.
Mm-hmm. As long as you're also, you know, supporting yourself.
I mean, I can attest, and I can be honest enough, because part of the mid-side is being honest, is this is something I've struggled with, and this is something I still struggle with to this day. I mean, I work hard on stuff, and I try to get better at the stuff I'm good at, but to a certain extent, it feels like nothing is good enough for anyone. It doesn't matter how much you improve, especially with the negativity of the internet. There's always someone telling you that you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, and you are not talented at all.
Yeah, I don't get that. I'm amazing at everything. I'm just
really?
Kidding.
This isn't like you don't see the cacophony of negativity out there?
No, clearly I do. You know, I write a blog like you do, and I'll get lots of emails from completely random people on the internet. Like, I stumbled upon your articles and they suck. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Really?
Thank you, random dude from the internet.
That goes to what Pete once said. The fact that you get random emails proves that people are reading it. I don't even get random emails.
But
and also,
anyway,
this guy's 16. You have time to get good at shit. He was probably like a sophomore in high school,
right?
At this point,
right? I know, so, and that's the thing too, right? Like, that's why my heart really goes out to someone like this, mm-hmm. and why whenever I meet someone like this, I always try to talk to them, because I goddamn wish when I was 16 somebody had said to me, "Dude, you really should go to the gym every day." Because I wasn't going to the gym every day, because we get these perceptions in our head, like, oh, I'm not muscular. He's thinking of muscular in, like, the stereotypical sense, probably, right? Like, the roided out Jersey Shore sense of muscular. Yeah. But you can be muscular and in shape from working out and not look ridiculous like that.
Yeah.
But you get these perceptions when you're a kid because everything's external and nobody's sitting there telling you the reality of it.
Yeah. He should probably also work at math first, just so he can, you know, clarify if he is or is not 16.
Maybe he was born in a leap year.
Oh.
That's confusing.
It is.
Next question. One sub per person at Subway. Am I wrong? Now, you may be wondering what the hell that means. So there's more description here. Am I the only person that gets, stuck waiting 20 to 30 minutes in line for a sub that takes 2 minutes to make, People get 3, 4, 5 subs at a time, or a salad, or some pizza-looking thing. It takes forever! I haven't walked out yet, but morale is low. At any other fast food restaurant, if you have a huge order, you step aside.
You step aside? What?
Yeah, I don't know, like, is there like a separate line? I've never experienced that in my life, and I've eaten a lot of McDonald's.
I mean, if you were to order like fucking 50 subs, that's 3 to 4. That is not like a huge order.
I mean, it sounds to me like this dude's going in on the lunch rush.
Yeah.
And like, you send one coworker, right? And you go, "Hey Bob, you want to go pick up some subs for us at Subway? Sure thing, if you guys pay for my sub." Okay, Bob, that's fair. And then Bob buys 3, 4, 5 sandwiches.
Yeah, this is awfully specific. Do you send someone named Bob to get your lunch?
I don't know anyone named Bob. It was just, you know, an example.
Oh. Scary specific.
Well, I'm a writer. I come up with these things.
Anyway, actually, so that we can mention Adam Carolla in every podcast, Adam Carolla actually did a really interesting bit about asking why we send the lowest person on the totem pole to go get our lunch. Like, it's one of the things we look forward to the most in our entire workday. And we send the guy with the least education, who can barely speak English, who's been here for exactly 14 minutes, I mean, in the country, to go get lunch for 50 people. Why?
Is his point he's gonna screw it up?
Yes.
Well, my point is, when he was saying that, I was thinking, the lowest man on the totem pole doesn't really have much incentive to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
If he hates you, he's just gonna spit in your food, you know, the whole don't mess with your server thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have to send, like, middle manager or higher. Like, you should have the vice president of running to get your lunch. Because it has to be right. Otherwise, the rest of your day is going to be miserable.
Well, we know the people who are in high positions don't really do anything anyway. So we might as well just have them get lunch.
Yeah, exactly. Bastards. I think, though, to speak directly to Mr. Yahoo Answers point, I disapprove of using the at sign when you're writing the word at.
Yeah, it does say at sign, Subway. It seemed like maybe he was tweeting it at them.
Yeah, and so I'm not going to answer.
My answer is go somewhere else. Because seriously, Subway doesn't care. They're getting a lot of money for all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe stop going during the goddamn lunch rush. That's your problem. Take lunch an hour before or an hour after everyone. Problem solved.
Yeah.
Next question. Has the environmental movement accomplished anything that has harmed mankind or the Earth?
Yes, all the things.
All the things?
All the things.
All the small things?
All the things that they've accomplished have harmed mankind.
Oh, you and or the Earth. Everything the movement has accomplished has harmed mankind or the Earth.
Yes, definitely mankind. Earth is questionable. I do appreciate that they capitalized Earth, though. It's a rarity nowadays.
And not mankind?
Right. Well, mankind's not a proper noun, but the Earth is. It's a name.
I understand, but think about how that plays rhetorically in this statement.
Yeah, I know. So I have their back there. But while I have their back, I'm going to push them down a flight of stairs. Which is that the entire underlying premise of the environmental movement, and now I don't mean individual people who are like, I want to recycle tin. Like, that's not who I mean. But the underlying premise of the environmental movement is, at its heart, anti-human. It's the idea that humans are somehow outside of nature, and therefore we need to regulate our behavior in order so that we don't affect wilderness. And that just at its root premise is anti-human. So basically anything that the environmental movement, quote, accomplishes harms mankind.
Well, and perhaps the biggest example, at least for me, is nuclear power.
Oh my God.
We've
yeah.
been looking for clean energy for so many years, but we come up with nuclear power and then we say we can't ever use it.
Yeah, exactly. It was, yeah, this whole idea of we have to have completely carbon free power. How about nuclear? Except for nuclear. Well, why not nuclear? Because nuclear.
Well, they try to say that like the meltdown in Russia, right? Chernobyl.
Right.
Which doesn't make any sense because I'm pretty sure when I drive down the 5 here in Southern California, there's those two boobs which are nuclear reactors, aren't they?
Yes, Justin. Right. The two boobs are a nuclear reactor.
And that, I mean, there's been no meltdown there. And they even made them look like boobs. If that's not going to attract trouble, I don't know what is.
Yes. Now, I mean, if anyone who knows anything about the nuclear industry knows that over the course of its lifetime, it is far and away the safest energy technology that exists. In fact, the solar panel and windmill industry has killed more people than nuclear power.
But Chernobyl.
Yeah, great.
Fukushima.
You mean the Russians fucked something up? Shock and awe. Look at the Olympics. And this is when they're, quote, good. So nuclear power is insanely safe and insanely effective, but, you know, Fukushima! Honeywell died of nuclear radiation in Fukushima. Anyone?
I have no idea.
It's zero. Oh. One person died because a beam fell on him from the earthquake.
But that was just because, like, he avoided death and death just had to keep its plan going.
Wow, what a reference.
And I mean, the other thing with environmental movement harming mankind, DDT, right?
Yes. Literally killed tens of millions of people. The banning of DDT, which was based entirely on pseudoscience and lies, has been responsible for the death of tens of millions of people from malaria, especially in third world countries, which means the left hates the poor.
Yeah, we've known that for years, though.
Yes, but I like saying it over and over again.
We also have the drought in California a couple years ago. Specifically because they stopped letting water be used to protect the smelt. So yeah. Forget about, you know, making crops to feed human beings. We're going to protect this little fucking minnow-sized fish.
Right, because all of Gaia's creatures are important. Sound familiar?
Okay, here's the thing about a drought, though. Can I just go off on a little bit of a tangent here?
Yeah, it's your show.
I don't understand droughts, especially living in California. We can figure out how to make an app on a phone that makes people waste their entire lives, and that, you know, you can download it over phone lines, over the air, but we can't figure out how to take water out of the ocean, decontaminate it, and use it for our lives?
Now, your outrage is entirely justified, but I would like... Justified, yeah. But I would like to move it over one notch on the spectrum, meaning we have figured it out. Desalination, while a little bit expensive, is figured out and would be innovated on all the time, except for that most coastal cities ban it.
Why?
I'll give you one guess.
Like pipelines, would you have to do that?
Environmental harm.
What environmental harm?
You'd be hurting the fish in the ocean, you'd be hurting the ecosystem around the beaches, yada, 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 yada.
So, okay, there we go. A very concrete example of how the environmental movement is hurting mankind in today's Southern California. We are currently experiencing a drought because they've banned desalinization. Next question. Currently, what gender would you say you are out of these 50? This question continues. I understand male, female, transgender, and someone who is not wishing to be identified by gender stereotypes. But seriously, do we need 50 different genders to choose from on our Facebook pages? I don't even know what most of them mean. And I always considered myself to be pretty PC and clued up on these things! Exclamation point. Dan, I think you have the entire list, right? Do you want to give us a few highlights here?
I have the entire list with explanations. So it's agendered, androgynous, bigendered, cis... That's CIS. Female to male, gender fluid, gender nonconforming, gender questioning, gender variant, gender queer, intersex, male to female. Neither, neutrois? I don't know how to pronounce that.
How do you spell it?
N-E-U-T-R-O-I-S. Looks French. Neutrois. Oh, it might be French. Now that I say it like that, all stupidly. Non-binary, other, pangender, transgender, trans, transsexual, transgender, transgender female, transgender male, transgender, transmasculine, transfeminine, or two-spirited.
Wait, what?
Now there are...
Two-spirited?
That's my favorite, by the way. The term likely originated with the Zuni tribe of North America, though two-spirit persons have been documented in numerous tribes. Native Americans, who have both masculine and feminine characteristics and presentations, have distinct roles in their tribes, and they are seen as a third gender.
Okay.
So it's Native American. That's basically all of them. I mean, there are some, like, cis that has a million subcategories, like cis female, cis male, cis man, cis woman,
so
cis female.
So if I click cis, then it'll let me choose E, so I'll be sissy. Still.
Thank you.
So these are actually stocked options? Like, these aren't just things people typed in?
That was my question.
These are things that, like, yeah. It's on a scroll down menu. I can say I'm, like, two-spirited. Like, can I only be two-spirited if I'm a Native American? Like, I'm like a quarter of, like, tons of fucking Indians, but does that mean I'm, like, two-spirited? Are you two-spirited if you are, like, girly looking and you're a dude? Like, I don't get it.
Yes, you are he who walks with penis. I don't. Yeah, so it is a predefined list, which my question about to Facebook was, why are you discriminating? Why isn't it check boxes? Why can't I pick more than one? Or why can't I type my own gender?
Just leave it blank and let people choose.
What are you trying to do, limiting my gender options?
I mean, what I don't understand is when you read the list, there were like three or four of them that sounded like exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Like two-spirited, neither, binary other or something.
Yeah, I think some of them are overlapping or very close, but they wanted to give people the option for how they identify. So someone might identify, you know, if they live in Ohio as transgender, but a person who lives in the plains of Oklahoma would be two-spirited.
And you said androgynous was on there?
Yes.
Doesn't that just have to do with, like, your, like, physical appearance, not, like, your actual...
I will tell you. Androgyne or androgynous, someone who neither identifies with nor presents as a man or woman. Being androgynous can refer to having both masculine and feminine qualities.
Isn't that two-spirited?
Yeah.
Yes, but it's a two-spirited non-Native American. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Oh, so there's the answer to my question. If I'm not Native American.
Right, you can be androgynous or...
What do they do,
cis.
Check your picture?
But, yeah. But again, like the term cis or kiss, I don't know what it is, CIS, says all of these terms capture that a person is not trans or does not have a gender diverse identity or presentation. That's androgynous and two-spirited. What?
I mean, I think ultimately what this demonstrates is a breakdown of language. I mean, why not then put male and female in every language possible on there to choose two? Do you get what I'm saying? Because yeah. By that logic, then a male in Japan is different than a male in America. And certainly, culturally, they very are different. They are very different.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So why would you not put that down there too? I mean, what it comes down to is, in these discussions, we've taken it so far away from reality... You know, in identifying things in reality, and then we've taken our language so far away from actually reflecting reality that we have no idea how to use language accurately anymore.
Yeah. By the way, items missing from this list would be male and female.
What do you mean?
They're not on the list.
Wait, you can't select them?
Well, they're not on this list. I'm not on Facebook, but they're not on this list. Which is hysterical to me.
Feel the need to mention that male and female was a gender.
What about hermaphrodite?
Is that on there?
That term is not on there because I think that term is racist.
Is it?
Intersex is someone who does that.
Wait, so I can't even call someone with a giant clit a hermaphrodite anymore?
No. You must refer to them as intersex. Generally refers to someone whose chromosomes, comma, gonads... And they put in parentheses in case you don't know what those are, ovaries or testes.
Is that, like, actually not politically correct to say hermaphrodite?
I don't think it is. I think, in fact, we're getting fined by the FCC every time
just,
we
like,
say
a thing.
It.
Like, is that one...
I thought intersex was a town in England.
That's... Never mind. Hilarious. So, yeah, I don't... Look, we're probably going to get a ton of hate mail for doing this segment, but...
That's assuming anyone listens to us.
I don't
it's
get this.
I love you.
Drew, don't send us hate mail. I just don't... I've never understood this whole, you know, gender movement and how gender is oppressive. And my upstairs neighbor recently said that capitalism created gender. And we wouldn't have it if it wasn't for the bourgeois capitalists.
Well, they differentiate between gender and sex, right?
Yes. So, yeah. In the top here, they have three separate definitions. One for sex, one for gender, and one for gender terms.
The problem is, right, this goes back to the whole first question, right, with the 16-year-old. And it was... We were saying he's listening to what everyone else is saying and he's feeling like the man is keeping him down. Well, it's the same thing here. People are rebelling against these labels because they're looking for external definition for their proclivities, psychologies, and preferences. So they may be like a dude who likes to play with dolls or mm-hmm. a dude who would prefer to cook. And rather than say, you know, I'm obviously very, very simplifying it here, right? And rather mm-hmm. than say, I am a guy, however, I prefer non-traditionally male things, mm-hmm. they're saying, oh, well, gender is a social construct. Do you see what mm-hmm. I'm saying?
Yes.
Do you think this is sort of just, this whole thing is like an extension of like the hypersensitivity to sexual preference? Like,
yeah, it's certainly the same thing because, I mean, there are things like the Kinsey scale, right? Mm-hmm. Where they say you can be classified like 1 through 5 for your preference for the other gender.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's 1 through 6.
Okay, 1 through 6, but whatever it is. So you can be like 6, like you're full on gay, uh-huh. or you can be like 3 where you're bi, or you can be like 1 where you're full on straight, right? Mm-hmm. But then there are people in the middle who have different preferences. And you know, and then there are people who they meet someone of the opposite sex and they're attracted and they've never been attracted before. You hear mm-hmm. these stories. And that's certainly, you know, I don't want to tell anybody what it's like for themselves, because for different people they're going to respond differently, but you can see how psychologically that would be crazy for someone and be mm-hmm. very difficult to deal with. So yeah, it's certainly all of this manifestation of it, where it's once again, you know, that's what people call the homosexual agenda, that they're trying to gain legitimacy externally because they don't have their own legitimacy internally. Now that's complex because maybe when they were young they were told it was wrong, which was wrong for someone to tell them it was wrong, mm-hmm. but ultimately, it goes down to the lack of self-esteem and the lack of the belief of, these are my choices for my life, so I am okay with that. It's saying, these are my choices, but I need you externally to say your choices are good, my choices are good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I honestly and personally don't care how anyone identifies gender-wise. I just don't. The part where I start to have an issue is where this starts to become about, quote, heteronormativity mm-hmm. and like bringing down the bourgeois heteronormativity. It's just like, for instance, is having two arms like two armed bourgeois normativity? Where do we end with this? It's very egalitarian.
Well, yeah, and it started with the feminist movement, right? Where feminism at one point changed from a very good thing, which was saying, hey, women should be allowed to do whatever mm-hmm. the fuck they want. And yeah, women should be allowed to do whatever the fuck they want because they're a person and people should be able to do whatever the fuck they want. But now it's become about destroying the male hegemony.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The patriarchy.
Right. And anything we do is oppressive to women. Like, you know, when Seth MacFarlane did his little thing, his song at the Oscars about boobs, and suddenly that was the worst thing ever. And even though the song was mocking the patriarchy, it was still somehow part of it. Because unless you address women's superiority,
they don't want to be even, they want to be above.
Right, and it's the same thing. These people don't want to be even. They want you to sit there and go, oh, you're awesome for doing this. I love you for doing this.
Yeah, that's the only part I don't like about it, is trying to destroy this bizarre concept of heteronormativity. So
to wrap up, we're going forward to the non-crisis of the week. The doctor, you sort of mentioned this non-crisis earlier. Do you remember mm-hmm. what you were talking about earlier at the top of the podcast?
Yeah, I believe we're talking about the ice storms over in, I guess not ice, but extremely fucking cold weather on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the entire East Coast, right, is just covered in snow right now, right?
Again.
Yeah. Right. Well, and that's the important word here is again, right? So I think the big storm hit on Thursday and then also Friday.
Yeah.
It's because of global warming, Justin.
Right, it's because of global warming we're getting snow.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second.
Right, because you know, Newton's first laws of thermodynamics tell us excessive heat causes cold.
Right, so just very quickly, this is how much of a non-crisis it is to me, and this is why. So I called my mom, who still lives back in Massachusetts, and I was talking to her about it. She's like, oh yeah, I skipped work today, and it's supposed to, you know, we're supposed to get like an inch an hour. But I still have to go into work tomorrow morning because I have to let some technician in to do something because she's like the office manager at her, you know, medical practice. And I was like, well, if it's going to be an inch every hour, you're still going to go in the morning? And she's like, well, yeah, he lives really close and I live really close, so why wouldn't I go in? We're sitting here and we're acting like it's a big deal when, you know, I grew up there and people who live there are just like, whatever, you know, this is normal. Mm-hmm. It is what it is.
Right. And I think where you see the panic set in, just the complete losing of one's shit, is in the South, where, like in Georgia, where they got 3 inches of snow and people were abandoning their vehicles. Children were left in buses overnight. Like you see some people burning parts of their house to keep warm. And it's just people. It's 3 inches of, you know, frozen water.
I wish
calm
we had some snow here.
Down.
One, no you don't.
One.
Two, how do children get stuck in a bus overnight? Did no one know where they were and nobody said, I'm going to walk across the street?
No, I think the bus driver, well, yeah, I think part of the problem is people didn't know where they were on, like, on the highway, and the bus driver wouldn't drive.
So he was there too.
He or she was afraid of driving in the snow.
But he or she was in the bus with them.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, at least he did it to himself too, bastard. But I'm just saying, like, literally, if I saw a bus full of if I was living in the South still, and I saw a bus full of children trapped in a bus because the bus driver wouldn't let them out and wouldn't drive, I would take off my shoes, walk across the street in the snow, get them, open the bus, get them out, and then I would walk back to my house, dry off my feet, and I would be completely fine.
I don't think anyone would blame you if you left your shoes on.
It's just really annoying to have, like, wet shoes. They take much longer to dry off than my feet, that's all.
Oh, I was really confused.
It also made the story sound a lot more epic.
Yeah.
Made me sound kind of heroic.
If you want to leave, come with me.
Take off your sneakers.
That was Robot Schwarzenegger. Anyway, so yeah, the people in the South, just shut up.
People in the media, shut up. I'm so tired of, what's the plural of crisis? Crises?
Yes.
I'm so tired of crises that aren't crises that are being made out to be over and over again, and it's just beat into our heads.
Yeah.
Which is why you will see this segment repeated. But for now, do you have any wrap-up thoughts, Dan?
Well, I learned today that Michael Sam is going to be a major celebrity in the NFL, and that he should get an endorsement from Flappy Bird.
What about you, Doctor? Any closing thoughts?
I also learned today that apparently I might qualify as two-spirited, as, you know, a Native American.
Well, you'll have to look into that. That's something that I don't care, but you might want to, you know, yell that from the mountains and have people externally tell you that you are two-spirited so you can feel good about yourself.
Yeah, I was going to say send those smoke signals.
I think you've heard all of my thoughts and probably too many of them. And you might feel like that we're wasting all your time. You're wasting all my time.